Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of Women Lawyers Online, and I'm so pleased to bring you today Juliet Oberding. Juliet is an attorney, a mediator, and a business coach. Her law practice, Oberding Law, focuses exclusively on the representation of coaches and couplepreneurs. Juliet works with each client to create a firm legal foundation for business success. Ms. Oberding has been an attorney for over 20 years, and she formed her law practice in 2001 after the birth of her second son. Oberding Law specializes in business law, intellectual property, and litigation. Thank you so much, Juliet, for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Kendra. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. With that biography being said, I would love to just jump into our conversation and the questions for the interview. Would that be all right?
Yeah, great. Let's get started.
Good. Juliet, I'm wondering, as you look back on your life, both personally and professionally, your legal career, your personal life, do you feel like you were always good at the juggle, at the balancing act between the personal and the professional, or do you feel like there was a pivotal point or a critical time that forced you or encouraged you to do things in a different way?
I would say no, that I was not always adept at balancing work and life. And yes, there was definitely one and, in fact, two pivotal points in my life where I had to make a decision to really focus on work-life balance.
And what, yeah, go ahead. Tell me about those.
Oh, yeah. The two of the pivotal points were, the first one was after the birth of my second son. He was born premature, and so at that point I needed to make some decisions about what I wanted to do. I was working in a law firm at that time, and they weren't willing to accommodate scheduling matters, so I needed to really look at taking my life into my own hands and starting my own practice. And then the second pivotal point was just recently, in 2008, I'd been running, working hard, and not really taking time for my own self-care. And I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And it was really a time where I had to stop, take a step back, look at my life, and look what was important to me and important to my family, and really make some decisions.
Wow, those are two pivotal points, and in very different ways. I mean, certainly the birth of your son, being born premature, and needing to make some choices about how to proceed from there. And then also, I think it's an amazing reminder of the importance of self-care when something happens, like what happened to you in 2008, being diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and looking back and realizing that we haven't taken care of ourselves in the way that we really needed to.
Exactly. And at that time, I was, really slow, decided to take that year afterwards, after the diagnosis, and really slow down, really check in, really, that's when I got connected with coaching, and really take some actions in my life to learn how to balance both work and family and the rest of my life, and be able to make time for self-care each day.
I think sometimes with a diagnosis like that, it's sort of a thump on the head, so to speak, where usually our body is telling us in gentle ways that we're pushing all too hard and not taking care of ourselves, and we just don't take the time to listen over months and years, and then it takes something like that where the body just finally says, no, I'm done, you need to wake up and take care of me, and something big happens that forces us to make that change.
Exactly, and I think that was the way it was for me. You know, what they say is that, source or God starts throwing bricks at you if you're not listening. Mm-hmm. And really, I felt that that's what happened for me. I mean, I had some signs over the course of years. I had, but I wasn't really getting in touch with my own, I guess you call it intuition or inner wisdom or something like that. I really wasn't connecting in with myself, my body, and my own vision for my life.
And finally, it sounds like it took that diagnosis in 2008 for the light to go on, maybe, and to make some conscious choices, to make big changes.
Yes, exactly. It really was the big light that went on, and I did make changes from that point on.
Well, they're never pleasant pivotal point, well, pivotal ones like that are not pleasant, but they do serve, they serve their purpose in helping us for the rest of our journey.
Yes, exactly. And I consider, you know, I have great gratitude for what I've learned over the last 2 years and the, you know, transformation that, you know, has, that I've created in my own life. And I'm really looking forward to the future. I'm very excited about the way things are going to turn out.
I think, as you just said, exactly, those moments sometimes turn out to be some of the biggest blessings in our lives, points where we reach that fork in a road and we choose a different path than we might have chosen had that event not happened. But ultimately, when we look back, we can see why that experience, while painful at the time or shocking or surprising, was really an enormous blessing, and our lives are so much fuller because of it.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, with that challenge, that I was able to see that I hadn't been creating a clear vision of what I wanted to achieve in my life. I hadn't been really setting goals or, and I don't mean in the traditional way of setting goals, but I mean looking at my life, looking at what I wanted, setting a clear vision, you know, looking at, you know, how did I want to live my days? Did I want to have a 60-hour work week, or did I want to really have a life where that would include, you know, picking up my kids after school and being able to go to their games after school or, you know, anything like that, or going to a yoga class or something, being able to look at what was important for me both as an attorney and being the best attorney I can be, and also as a woman and mother and you know, and a wife to my husband. So it was an opportunity for me to have that experience to create a clear vision for what I wanted and needed in my life to move forward and to be even more successful.
I love that advice about creating a clear vision and, again, taking that opportunity that sometimes comes disguised as something very challenging to reassess what matters and what we want our lives and our practices, everything we're doing, to look like so that we can create it. As you said, what do you want to look like as a mother, as a wife, as a practitioner, whatever, professionally, in your career, everything, to create that vision. So then you have something to strive for rather than just being reactive to whatever life throws at you.
Exactly. And I know that in the past I had been very reactive and really just running from one, you know, fire to another, putting out one fire to another, and really not sitting out and taking that time to, you know, get connected with yourself. And I think that, you know, one of the biggest lessons that I had was that lesson, and you know, you mentioned it before, echoed it before, was with respect to self-care being a number one priority and taking time for self-care. And even if it's only 5 minutes in the morning, you know, for some meditation or journaling or reflecting on what you're grateful for, I mean, I just think that's very important, as well as exercise and all the regular things that we know of. But that few moments in silence a day really helps me to sort of get clear for what I need to do and accomplish in the week or the month ahead.
Exactly. Well, let's think then, Juliet, a little bit more about what you would say the challenges or the struggles have been, and maybe you've articulated or alluded to some of them, but as you think back on your personal journey, professionally, personally, some of the challenges that you've mentioned that you faced, what would you say has been the biggest challenge, be it more of an umbrella or just a way of being? Where did you come up against struggle in terms of creating the kind of balance you wanted?
Well, I think overall the first thing to look at is that vision that we talked about before. But then, you know, when you want to break that down into components, I think the idea of running from fire to fire is not a good one. It is not a good way to be reactive, as you say, in your life. It is not a good way to go through your day-to-day practice. And I think, I know that many of us, whether we're litigators or whether we're in business or states or what have you, we have specific schedules that we need to follow and, you know, specific time management in that way. But, I mean, taking that as an overall view of your life and kind of looking at how can I look at my life and schedule things using that terminology, so that I'm not running from fire to fire. And not just in the scheduling of your individual business meetings or consultations or court appearances, but your life as a whole. And I also have to say that I was someone who said yes a lot to many, many, many things. And I had to realize that saying no didn't mean I didn't care for somebody, or it didn't mean that, you know, I wasn't a good parent or a good wife or a good friend or a good sister or what have you, but that I needed to look at those priorities. And I think often I didn't prioritize what was most important in my life. I went and said yes to this committee, yes to that committee, yes to being on a board or working with a nonprofit, and you know, pretty soon there's no time left for me or for anything in addition. So I think that saying yes to too many things can be a real struggle, and that combined with lack of time management or understanding what your priorities are and putting those on your schedule.
Those are some very, very common and yet nonetheless big challenges in terms of time management, not having a clear vision, feeling like you're just running from fire to fire, as you put it, and saying yes all the time to everyone. I know for myself, and I think for many, many, particularly women, we're always tempted to say yes. We want to serve everyone and help everyone all the time, and yet, like you said, sometimes that precludes other things in our life that are very important in terms we think about what we're saying yes to, but we forget that with every yes, we're saying no to something else. And maybe in your case or in many people's case, we say yes to all the volunteer committees or our family or our friends or everything else. And then that's a no that we say maybe to ourselves for taking that quiet time or that other time that we could have spent in another way. So I think it's a very common and yet challenging situation where we just are so tempted. And it comes from a good place in our hearts where we just want to be helpful and serving everyone all the time, but we probably don't do justice to everything that we're doing plus to ourselves when we do that. So thank you for that reminder.
Exactly. That's, you know, exactly the challenge that I faced in the past. And let me just add, there was one more thing that I wanted to mention. It's not getting help or not asking for help. And I always felt that when you're in your own business, you have to be the bootstrapper and you have to, you know, do it all yourself until you've reached a certain level of financial, success. And to some extent, you know, that's the point. You shouldn't spend money that you don't have. But on the other hand, there's a way to manage your money so that you have the support that you need. And whether that's someone to help clean your house or run errands for you, or whether that's having an assistant or a paralegal to work with. And that can be on an independent contractor basis. But what I'm saying is get help, or maybe it's a family member that can help you, instead of feeling that you have to do everything by yourself.
Right. Exactly. I think it's always a great reminder that we don't have to be everyone to all people. We don't have to be 100% all the time. And we are not weaker because we asked for help. I think sometimes it takes more strength to admit that we can't do everything and to ask for that help. But it makes all the difference in the world. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Thank you.
Julia, on the flip side of that, and we were talking about the challenges that you've experienced or problems you run up against in terms of creating your personal balance and your ideal vision for your life, what has been your biggest lesson? And maybe those come from some of the challenges that you faced, or maybe they're distinct, but I'm wondering what your biggest lesson that you've experienced or learned along your journey has been.
I think the biggest lesson is to find out what is most important to you and what to take that time to sit down and however you want to do it, whether you're creative or whether you want to use a vision board or whether you want to journal or write things out, whatever works for you, to sit down and think, what is my big vision for my life and what do I want to do? Because if otherwise you're just, you're just, again, running from fire to fire, or you're just doing, and you're not really creating the life that you want. And I see so many people, including myself, just being busy in life and not really doing what they really want. I mean, not really connecting into what is most important for me, what am I here to do on this planet, what makes my heart sing. And all of that can be within your practice, amazingly. I know there was a point for me where I was very burnt out on the practice of law. I didn't feel that I wanted to continue with it. And then when I started to take time to check in with myself, to set out, you know, my plan or connect with who I wanted to be in the world and what was important for me, I realized that being a lawyer was always something that I really, really loved. And I enjoyed helping people. And that was all connected. So I think that that really was one of the biggest lessons is that connection internally with what you're here to do, what's your bigger purpose, and how that connects in with all the other circles of your life, whether it's your practice as an attorney or whether it's your family or whether it's the community that you serve or the world at large.
I think that's a beautiful reminder and a huge lesson for everyone, for their lives, is when we can connect in and figure out that bigger why, what we're really after, and it can be within our practice. It does. I think sometimes we feel like, well, maybe it needs to be feeding starving children or doing something, you know, that feels so much more humanitarian. But the practice of law is also a service-based profession, and for many of us, that's what we love about the law. That's what drew us to the law, was helping people solve problems in their times of need. And so it is a very noble calling in its own way. It's got a bad reputation, but it's a noble calling. And we can find that value and that place that makes our heart sing, as you said it, which I love, that just excitement and joy in what we're doing in our practice. It doesn't mean that we need to leave our practice, but we might need to tweak our practice a little bit. And like you said, taking the time to do that, to get in touch with that vision and that bigger reason for doing what we do, is critical to finding those answers.
Exactly. And you definitely need to take that time to, I mean, from my experience anyway, to really connect all those dots and follow the breadcrumbs to get to that bigger why and how that relates to who you are in the world as an attorney and the other aspects of your life.
Juliet, what would you say, having talked about that lesson, and it's a wonderful umbrella lesson, just being in touch with that vision, having that vision and clarity around it, and being in touch with your own motivations, values, and priorities. What would you say then would be maybe two or three strategies or tips or tools that you could provide to the women attorneys who are listening, maybe more tactical or practical, just things that you found that have worked for you that made your life easier and alleviated some of that struggle that you experienced in creating the balance you wanted?
I think that the first thing is to take time for yourself, and this doesn't have to be sitting having a meditation for half an hour or anything like that. But basically, when you get into the office or wherever it is that you work and you do your work, I mean, sitting down at your desk or sitting down in a chair in your office and sort of taking that time to say, okay, what am I accomplishing today? What do I need to do today? And then check in with yourself and what's most important for me to get done today? And that's not just the scheduling aspect of things, like I have a motion that's due tomorrow or I have a court appearance this afternoon, but really looking at it in the whole of the bigger picture and connecting in with you as an attorney, you as a woman, a mother if you have children, and finding out what's most important for me to know today, I think is really the question to ask yourself, and just getting quiet with that. And whatever pops up, you know, maybe you want to jot some notes down or something like that, or maybe you don't. Maybe you just get some time to take some deep breaths, relax, and set the tone for your day. Sometimes just setting the intention that today is going to be an excellent day and I'm going to accomplish the things that need to be done today and something along those lines. But having that time in the morning where you're taking time for yourself, you're looking at creating a vision for the day. I think that's really important. And then some other things are, and I referred to this earlier, but is to determine what's most important for you as in your life as a whole, and then being able to schedule things out. So I always like the idea of chunking things, like chunking your email time, chunking your return call time. And so that means that you're not checking your email throughout the day constantly to see if a client has emailed you or if opposing counsel or something like that has emailed you. Instead of doing that, setting specific times of the day to do that type of work, setting specific times of the day and of the week to talk to your clients. Now, I always believe that you should return phone calls within 24 hours, so that's another thing. But I think that chunking things down and really taking back your power in your life and over your own time is really important, and it has really helped a lot to stop that running from fire to fire type of behavior.
Mm-hmm. When I love the idea of chunking, and it's not something that I always did, and I'm certainly not perfect at it, because I think oftentimes, speaking for myself, I know I definitely do, and for other multitaskers out there, we like to try to do all sorts of things all at once, but it actually oftentimes lowers our level of efficiency. But when we can chunk and say, all right, I'm like you said, especially with email or voicemail, things like that, that can just intrude upon and destroy any sort of schedule or plan that we had, saying I'm just going to check email at this certain time, or I'm just going to check voicemail or return calls, and then singularly focus on doing that, then you don't have to worry about it the rest of the day, because you know you have the time set aside for it and that it will get done, that you will devote the time to it. And also, so, and I don't know if you've done this or not, but with like email or something, even setting up using technology, using autoresponders or things like that, that you can set up in your email account. You can set up a little response that just says, you know, immediately, just like you get an out-of-office response, you just say, I only check my email at 10 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. If it's an emergency, maybe you want to give them a phone number or something, but, you know, I will check my email at that time, and I'll get back to you after that. Because people start, like you said, things move fast, and people expect responses immediately.
Exactly.
Maybe you can get to it in a couple hours, but you don't need to stop your whole day. And if they can get that automatic response so they know that you've received it, they understand that you're not going to get back to them immediately, but that you will, it just sets up the boundaries. I think it's a great point that you make around chunking, is just creating boundaries around your time and also that time for yourself, creating boundaries around that and holding that to be sacred. Even those few minutes of visioning and quiet time in the morning, it can make a difference for the entire day.
Exactly. And I love what you said about the autoresponder. That's a wonderful tip, so that the client, if that's who that sent the email, is getting an immediate response saying, I've received your email, I check my emails these two times, I'll get back to you as soon as possible. If it's an emergency, please contact me. Or if you have an assistant, you know, it's good to have your assistant field many of these things, so that, you know, even, in fact, your email can go to your assistant, too, and they can sift through what's important and what isn't for you. And so that's another good thing to keep in mind, another good tip.
Yeah, that's a great idea. There are places to look for help and for support and for people or systems, be they real people or electronic systems, that can help us protect ourselves from those places that would otherwise suck our time or suck our energy or our focus. We have to be a bit systematic about it and take some time to think about what would serve us best. But when we do that, I mean, just the sigh of relief that could come from thinking, I only have to check my email twice a day, or like you said, better yet, there's an assistant that can field those for me, and maybe she would handle half of them anyway, and she can pass along the things that I need to deal with, or she'll screen the calls so that only the people who really need to get through to me will, so I can focus on the brief I have to write, or I can focus on the project I need to work on. So identifying those places of support and then utilizing them can make life so much easier.
Exactly, and it is the implementation where I think we get stuck often, is saying, okay, I know that I can, I have these options available to me. But then just also setting aside that time, again, it goes back to that scheduling, what's most important to you, but then really realizing that here I need to set up this autoresponder or have someone set it up for me, or I need to have talk to my assistant about what type of email should go through to me. So really setting that side of that time aside to implement and make sure it gets set up, those systems get put into place in your practice.
You're right, because the best of intentions, if we don't take the time to implement, we can just sit and think about how great it would be to have that system, and we never actually get to experience how great it really is.
Yeah.
Thank you for that reminder that we need to take the time as well to implement.
Yeah.
Juliet, this has been just terrific. You've shared a wealth of information, of tips, of thank you for your transparency and your honesty in your own journey and where maybe you can help others shortcut their path by sharing what you've experienced, the lessons, the challenges that you've learned along the way. Thank you for sharing all that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I really enjoyed talking about this. It was great to share this with you and share this with your listeners, and I was very excited. My pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And I do want to give you a chance before we wrap up the call to let people know about what you've got going on in addition to your legal practice. I know you've got some other really interesting things happening. So please take a moment and share that with the listeners and the readers of this call, this information.
If you're interested in talking with me, you can reach me at my website, which is Oberding Law, and that's OberdingLaw.com, and I'm also on Facebook. So if you really want to get to know me and see what I'm about, you can find me at Juliet Oberding on Facebook. And I'm also offering for coaches and couplepreneurs. I'm offering a 45-minute free consultation. It's my birthday month, so this is my give back. And so if you want to contact me about that, you can reach me at my email address, which is jmo@oberdinglaw.com.
Excellent. Thank you. And thank you for offering that. That's very generous of you. And when is your birthday, Juliet?
It's May 18th, so it's coming up next week.
Coming up very soon. Well, happy birthday to you. All the best. And thank you again for being here today. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure, Kendra.
Well, with that, we will wrap up this conversation, and we are grateful to Juliet for all she has shared. I encourage you to take her words to heart and take that time, as she really focused on wisely, to take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you can do each day, maybe in the morning, maybe there's another time of day that works better for you, but take that time to think about your day and create a vision for yourself, for your life, and for your law practice to make it all it can be for you. And also just to digest and utilize this information that Juliet has given to you. Invest in yourself, invest that time, and hopefully avoid some of the challenges that you've heard about. So thank you for taking the time to listen, for taking the time to implement, as we talked about. And until next time, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of Women Lawyers Online, signing off and wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.